We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3. Let's go.
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons Flyover.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com live inside the Kia Studios right now on the Falcon Flyover. Thomas Mott holding down the fort until 7:30 p.m. here on the East Coast when we give you guys Sunday Night Football, Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dylan Matthews in producing as well. All right, let's jump into the highlights. Let's go over exactly what happened in today's game as heard on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Are you ready? Let's go. Boy, it just started bad, and it went from bad to worse. The very first play, how about Jake Matthews getting beat for a really bad sack? Matt Ryan goes down, it's a three and out, and the Falcons are forced to punt, which you go, okay, let's see what the defense does. The problem is, on the punt, this happened.
Chad Beebe will take the punt of Matt Bosher. Second year out of Northern Illinois, he'll stand at the 20. Bosher, of course, a 46-yard average and a 41-yard average, and it is blocked. It's blocked by Eric Wilson and recovered by the Vikings at the 20-yard line.
So, like, minutes into the game, you have Matt Ryan getting sacked. You have Matt Ryan running for his life. You punt the football. It's blocked, and the Vikings go two plays. It's a Dalvin Cook 8-yard run, and then this Kirk Cousins touchdown pass to Adam Thielen.
Diggs in motion, goes right to left. Cousins under center here on second and a dozen. Straight drop. Falcons trying to get there. Cousins cuts it loose. The catch and the score. Into the end zone goes Adam Thielen for Minnesota. Crossing route from right to left. And Thielen, who had 9 scores a year ago, into the end zone on the second snap of the year for the Vikings.
Less than 4 minutes into the game, it's 7-0 Vikings. And on the second Falcon drive, Matt Ryan again struggling, running for his life. They get 2 good run plays from Devontae Freeman. And then with pressure in his face, Matt Ryan had this interception, triple coverage to Julio Jones.
Ryan in the gun, play fake to Freeman, shoots it downfield. Jones tried to come down with it, and it's intercepted by Anthony Harris. Threw it up top for Julio Jones, and Anthony Harris comes away with his 4th interception of his career. He had 3 of them a year ago.
Vikings again deep inside Falcon territory. 2 big Dalvin Cook runs, including this 19-yard rushing touchdown to put the Vikings up 14-0.
Cousins with Cook the lone back. Thielen in motion. They'll hand to Dalvin Cook. Tries to peel left side. Does. Cuts it to 10. And Dalvin Cook scores. 19-yard run for Dalvin Cook. With 8:22 to play first period, and the Vikings lead 13-0.
The problem was there's still a ton of time left, right? You just heard Wes Durham there on the call for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. There's still 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. So the offense came back out onto the field, trailing 14-0. And what did they do? A very good-looking 11-play drive deep into Viking territory. They at one point had first down and 10 at the Minnesota 32, and then Chris Lindstrom had a block above the waist. 2 bad passes by Matt Ryan and an ensuing punt. They might have tried a long field goal, but decided to go ahead and punt there. So the Vikings got the ball back, and they punted. Kirk Cousins got hit. Potential fumble, potential sack fumble there. The Falcons couldn't fall on it. And suddenly, we are into the second quarter, and it's only 14-0, right? The ship has been steadied until the next Falcon drive, a 4-play drive that resulted in this Devontae Freeman fumble, which was not good at all because it was taken off the left side of the formation. He was hit. The ball went on the ground. He recovered it, which was weird, but you watch the replay, and the Vikings, it did look like, were the ones to jump on it. So at this point, we're in the third quarter. The Vikings are up 14-0. The Falcons have turned it over 3 separate times, and the Vikings made him pay. A 10-play, 79-yard scoring drive capped by this Kirk Cousins 1-yard rushing touchdown.
Well, here's Cousins. Again, the tackle and the tight end. Extra bodies on the left, and now Cousins reaches over the top off the snap, and he'll get credit for the touchdown.
21-0. The Falcons had two more shots at it on offense before halftime. They did nothing with it, and we trotted into the first halftime of week one with the Falcons down 21-0 and scratching their heads. Offensive line struggling. Matt Ryan struggling. Defense absolutely struggling. But you just hoped, right? You just hope you come out in the second half, you get a stop, and you go down the field and score, and we're suddenly only down two. Well, they came out. The Falcons got a stop. The Vikings punted, and the Falcons again. A 13-play drive led by Matt Ryan took 7.5 minutes off the clock. It was second down and goal. Then Matty Ice did this.
Now second and goal for Atlanta. Smith, the fullback, moves. Here's Ryan, a little bit of a bootleg. Going to try and throw for the back line, and it's intercepted by Anthony Harris. And I was trying to tell if it was Stocker or Hooper that was the intended receiver. Harris has his second interception of the day. And Atlanta turned away in the red zone on the Harris pick with 3:08 to play. Back foot throw by Ryan, the pick by Harris. It looked like it was headed for Stocker.
It was headed for Stocker, but I would argue that he was probably trying to throw it away. There was nothing giving there. But after that interception, there's about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's 21-0, and you just got to go, this is just not the Atlanta Falcons day. Because, of course, the Vikings got the ball back, and what do? Dalvin Cook, and then this 7-yard rushing touchdown by none other than Dalvin Cook.
Cook, the running back. Cousins will go to work under center. The rookie Bradbury at the pivot gets in the ball. He'll hand to Cook. Left side. Dalvin Cook at the 2-1 touchdown. They went unbalanced line, and Dalvin Cook scores left side. Second touchdown of the day for Cook.
Dalvin Cook finished on the day with two rushing touchdowns, 111 total rushing yards. He averaged 5.3 yards per carry. The fourth quarter, the game was basically over. The Vikings just ran the football galore. The Falcons went hurry up. They did get two touchdowns, the first of which was to Calvin Ridley.
Atlanta needs five to keep the drive alive. Off the Minnesota 20, four-man rush. Ryan going to flip, looking for and caught Calvin Ridley, the touchdown. Trey Waynes was there, but Ridley does a phenomenal job of getting to the football after Ryan let it go.
That at least broke the shutout there. It was 28-6. The Falcons had one more 12-play, 71-yard scoring drive. And the new $66 million man, Julio Jones, caught his touchdown pass.
Ball at Minnesota's 2 with the final 69 seconds here in Minneapolis. 28-6 in favor of the Vikings. Ryan left side, and it's caught. And that's Julio Jones for the touchdown.
They went for two again, did not get it, and that was the end of the ball game, 28-12, as the Atlanta Falcons fell to the Minnesota Vikings. Wes Durham, Dave Archer there on the call, as heard here on the Atlanta Falcons radio network. All right, here's the deal. We'll go ahead and end the highlight portion of this show. Let's open up the phone lines, 404-741-0929. Get your phone calls in now. We'll take a couple, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll take some more phone calls. Here's my question to you guys. What's the biggest concern? Is it the offensive line? Was it the lack of game plan, the lack of prep it looked like? Because they came out really, really flat. The offense came out flat. Was it the turnovers? Was it the defense? There are too many things to narrow it down on, so we'll take some phone calls and we'll see your guys' reaction here. Let me just please preface this. I know we're hot. I know we're upset. Let's keep the language to a negative. No cussing, please, on this show. Let's just roll through clean. I want to get you guys a reaction here on the Falcon Flyover, 404-741-0929. What was your biggest concern, right? Was it the offensive line? Was it the defense? For me, you start with the offensive line because you're not going to move the football if Matt Ryan's running for his life 24-7. And then you also have to ask the question, Dan Quinn's the new defensive coordinator, right? He's supposed to fix the defense, and man, Dalvin Cook had himself a day. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Cody wants to talk first. He's up. Cody, you are the first man on. What's up, man? Cody, hang on 1 second. I'm going to get to you. We're going to get to you in just 1 second here. All right, are we good? Right. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You're up.
All
go
right,
for
so
it.
First off, let me start like this. Dirt cutter on that offense, man. Like, I don't know what it is. It might be the stretch of being the first game, not having Julio in through preseason, not even using Devontae Freeman other than, three carries in the whole preseason and everything like that. That is my biggest concern on the offensive front right there. And Jake Matthews, too.
Yeah, I mean, no.
We had two rookies on, right guard, right tackle.
Right.
And they pretty much had a decent day. It wasn't bad. You know, I'm not gonna hate on that, especially them being rookies. But when you have Jake Matthews, left tackle, who has been somebody that is a, you know, he's a forefront for our team right there on the offensive line, and what he's given up, what, two, maybe three sacks, you know, on the game right there. Like, this is a guy that should step up, be a team player, be a leader on that offensive front, and he didn't do that today. And then on top of that, you know, you go into the goal line play where we threw it to, I forget the tight end's name.
It was Locker.
And I forget his name. Yeah, exactly. I forget his name because he's not
Stocker,
even our first-string tight end. Yeah, he's not even our first-stringer. So on top of that, like, why not run a goal line play? You got Julio, somebody you just paid $62 million for, $60 million guaranteed, and he scores a touchdown in the fourth quarter. But yeah, you're not going to run him in a formation right there. That is crazy to me. Like, it just does not make sense. And then Devontae Freeman, somebody who, you know, has been injured last year. I mean, I get it. You know, he's a great back, everything like that. But Ido Smith has been balling, and he balled today. Like, he had good run today. Like, why not even utilize this guy even more? I mean, Devontae Freeman didn't even have that many carries in the preseason. Like, just, you know, bring him in slowly but surely because you know he's going to produce eventually. But somebody like Ido Smith, who gave us quality runs today. I don't even think he went negative yardage on one single play.
No, at all. Like, I mean, I think Ido Smith had six carries for 31 yards, the 5.2 average. But I will say this about the running backs, though, Cody. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. We got a lot lined up here. You were down the entire day. So Matt Ryan had to kind of throw his way back into this game. Now, I get it early, right? And I get it early. You're down 7. You're down 14. So you want to try and run the ball to keep it balanced. But once it's 21-0, and it's 21-0 early on in this second, in this first half, right? When it's 21-0, Matt Ryan's got to throw his way back out there. I don't know if my concern is really with Dirk Koetter. I would say the concern is with the offensive line because I truly believe if Matt Ryan had time to throw the football, then he would not have thrown the first pick to Julio Jones, and then he would arguably not have thrown that bad interception off his back foot at the goal line because he had the pressure in his face. I don't want to get on Dirk Koetter just yet. If you want to call it a coach, it's Dan Quinn because the defense was so bad, but the offensive line is a massive struggle. And, like, what's Dirk Koetter going to do about that? Unless we go max protection and we chip every single play and you leave extra tight ends in, and then you're just running Julio and Calvin Ridley and that's it. So I don't know about Dirk Koetter yet. I need to see more because you were down so early and they had to get away from the game plan so early. But the offensive line for me, my number one concern going into week two against Philadelphia. All right, Mel, David, Joshua, Steve, I see all you guys lined up. A lot more people calling in. Quick break here. Back in like 6 minutes, then we'll continue the phone calls. Your biggest concern from the Falcons, week one loss, 28-12 to the Minnesota Vikings. That's next. The Falcon Flyover, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And the final snap of the game, and the ball game is over.
Talking about today's game here
on the Falcons Flyover, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Live inside the Kia Studios right now on a disappointing day in Atlanta. This is the Falcon Flyover. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. Just wrapped up the highlights, and now, like I promised, we're taking your phone calls. Here's the question. You can call in 404-741-0929. Your biggest concern, right? I don't want an hour monologue on the 10 things you're concerned about. Pick your number one, lay it out to me, and then we got to take the next phone call. Let's start off with Mel on the phone lines. Mel, you're up. Your biggest concern is what?
My number one concern is Dirk Koetter. The play caller was lousy. The left side of the offense was lousy. Dirk Koetter. Duck Cutter needs to go right back. Poor Tampa Bay. Guy Carter, man. And DQ with his so-called DQ.
Hey, Mel, listen, I think we lost you there. I appreciate the phone call there. Mel's always hyped up there. Listen, I don't know if I'm going to blame Dirk Koetter. Like, I'm curious the rest of the phone callers. Are we going to blame Dirk Koetter? What's Matt Ryan supposed to do? He's running for his life. Right, he's running for his life the entire day. 4 sacks, 7 quarterback hits. It looked a lot worse than that. I think we give Dirk Koetter a little bit more time. I understand the concern, right? Anytime you have this offense and you get blanked, like, I get it. Only 12 points until the fourth quarter. But let's be a little bit more patient with Dirk Koetter. That's my take. David, you're on now. What's your biggest concern?
Defensive line.
Yes.
I was actually impressed about the New Orleans signee as the number 2 defensive tackle today. He had 8 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But the defensive ends had a miserable day, and Beasley would be in the right place, but he wouldn't make the play. And I was always concerned when they re-signed him for so much money, but you know, what are you going to do when the guys just can't seem to make the plays?
Yeah, hey, David, listen, I appreciate the phone call there. And that's the thing. This is why if you want to pick a coordinator to be upset about, wait on Dirk Cutter. Go. I mean, Dan Quinn's open for business now because, remember, Dan Quinn takes over the defense, and what's his promise, right? Tack and Vic are going to be fixed. Now, Tack McKinley did have some flashes. You know, Tack's a talented guy. We expected this. But Vic didn't do much, as you just heard David say, and Tack, again, got a little roughed up a little bit later on in the game, but overall, the defense was atrociously bad. I mean, how many times did we lose contain on the outside run play? How many times did they go stretch to Dalvin Cook, outside run play? I think both of his rushing touchdowns came from that. I can't remember exactly, but if we're going to go after a coordinator, you got to go with the defensive coordinator, and it's the head coach, Dan Quinn. All right, Steve is next. Steve, you're on. Your biggest concern.
My biggest concern is this embarrassment that we've just endured coming out of this preseason winless. It's obvious we're not prepared. It's obvious we needed our guys playing in the preseason.
Yep.
This is unacceptable. And Coach Tommy, it's great to be with you tonight. We are going to recover from this, like Arch.
We will.
You know, after the game, Wes and Arch, and man, they called a great game.
Yes, they did.
In spite of this embarrassment.
100%. Hey, listen, Steve.
We're going to recover from this. And Tommy, it's great to be with you tonight, Coach Tommy. We're going to recover.
I think we will. Hey, Steve, listen, I appreciate the phone call. I've never been called coach, but I will take it. It is an embarrassment. I mean, and that's the whole problem is right away, block punt. Well, even go back further. Immediate sack of Matt Ryan. Play one. I saw that, and I went, oh, boy, please. Please, Lord, no. And then the block punt, you go, oh, please, please. And then a touchdown. And then you start to kind of rub your eye, and you go, oh, boy. And then the Matty Ice pick when he threw it into triple coverage off the play action, and they went right down the field like two plays. Dalvin's in the end zone. Oh, no. Here we go. 14-0. And they never got going. They had the one really good drive on, like, their third possession whenever they finally got it into Minnesota territory. And then Lindstrom had the, you know, the block above the waist, and you're like, oh, rookie mistake. But it knocked them out, right? It was like 11-play drive, and it killed it. Absolutely killed it. All right. Ken is on the line right now. Ken, what's up, man?
Oh, my God.
Ken, are you there?
Oh, Ken's not there.
Ken? Are you there? Hello? Going once? Going twice? All right. No, Ken. Sorry. Got to be there whenever I call you. Randy's up next. Randy, you're on. Biggest concern.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
I got you. Go ahead.
My biggest thing is right now is coaching, man.
Yep.
2016 wasn't that far away. I mean, it's like we have forgotten. No matter what it looked like, we've forgotten that it exists. See, Shanahan knew our offensive line was garbage. He knew it. So, and to institute that and kind of protect that, we play hot potato football, but it worked. That's what Matt Ryan's at his best. That's where he's at his most proficient. And that's how you protect the offensive line. No huddle, hurry up.
Yep.
Throw the football. I mean, what happened to that? I mean, basically.
Hey, listen.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the phone call. It felt like they tried to stick with the game plan. And then it got to 21-0, and then they abandoned it. I would expect them to do a little more no-huddle hurry-up early on in the football game next week against Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia, if you think the Vikings have a good pass rush, Philadelphia has an insanely good pass rush. They showed it late against Washington today, and they're going to be coming after Matt Ryan. So here's my question, though, in terms of coaching. How are they going to protect Matt Ryan next week? What's the game plan? Because right off the bat, you either have to start running the ball a lot better, therefore creating more one-on-one matchups, or you got to start leaving in extra tight ends, extra running backs, which they did here and there, but there were still times Matt Ryan was running for his life. When we go to next week, when Philadelphia comes to town, Sunday Night Football, the entire nation is watching us, what happens on that first drive? I would love to see more no huddle. I would love to see more hurry up. That way you keep Philadelphia in their base defense, you know, a base nickel, a base 3-4, whatever you want, and they cannot bring as much pressure. Because, guys, if Matt Ryan is going to run for his life all season, what's the darn point? And that's not a glass half empty, that's negative Thomas. No, be honest with ourselves. If you want to go to the playoffs, if we want to go to, you know, the divisional round, we want to win our division, all the goals that we have set for ourselves here in Atlanta, you have got to protect Matt Ryan. And they tried to address it this offseason. They tried, but it's too little too late. McGarry has the heart problem. They can't get him on the field enough. Carpenter is a patchwork at left guard, and Lindstrom's still a rookie. They try, but it feels too little too late. That has got to be fixed, and it has to be fixed against Philadelphia. Eric, your thoughts, you're on.
Yeah, man, look, everybody just needs to relax, all right?
There you go.
Other than a couple things like, you know, fundamentals, blocking and tackling, you know, some little things like strength and speed, I think we're good, you know? I mean, other than blocking, tackling, strength and speed, I think the Falcons are going to be okay.
Blocking, tackling, strength, and speed. I like the positive attitude there, Eric. I really appreciate that phone call. Ken is on. Didn't we just have Ken? I think it's a different Ken. Let's see. Ken, are you there?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, doing well. Just disappointed, but hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, I am too. Dan Quinn is not the coach for this team. It for me, my eyes, even from last year to this year, they're not responding to him. He can't seem to get things right that's noticeable. If we notice it at Sands, I know he noticed it.
Yep.
He practices with him every day. I mean, you come out and you pass on the first play of the game, you pass it. How about running it and controlling the tempo of the game? I just think he's not the coach for this team. I don't think we'll win with him as a head coach.
Hey, listen, Ken. I appreciate the phone call there. That's a question that's going to be raised early and often here in Atlanta, especially after today's performance, because, again, yeah, the offense was bad, but we kind of expected Matt Ryan to at least get hit, right? Now, did we expect him to get blanked? No. But the problem was the defense got rolled. And that's been Dan Quinn's M.O. How many times have we had Dan Quinn on the station? Have we played Dan Quinn audio? Dan Quinn interviewed this? And it's like, listen, I'm taking over the defense. I got it covered. This is my M.O. We're going to work on Tack. We're going to work on Vic. We're going to be healthy, right? Everyone was out there. Shout out to Deion Jones for looking good at linebacker. Let's get positive where positive can be, right? That was good there. But you cannot be down 28-0 in the blink of an eye and expect the moon out of an offense that cannot protect Matt Ryan. All right, next phone call here. Jeffrey is on next. Jeffrey, you're up. Biggest concern.
Hey,
Yes.
We drafted two offensive linemen in the first round, and they're all pretty terrible.
Well, I don't know if I'd go terrible, Jeffrey. I just would go that they're rookies, right? I mean, we can't all be Quentin Nelson, right?
That's true.
I think it could take a little bit of time before the offensive line gets its continuity, but the concern is how long is it going to take? I said this on my normal show, Ready or Mott, like for months. I said it's going to struggle early, right, which it did today. It'll struggle next week against Philadelphia, but hopefully week four, week five, week six, McGarry starts to settle down. Lindstrom's got six games under his belt, and then Matt Carpenter at the left guard. If you want to really dive into the offensive line, Jake Matthews looked pretty bad at left tackle today. And that's not supposed to be where they're bad at the offensive line. McGarry struggled. Sombrelo struggled. Lindstrom had a really bad penalty, was, you know, up and down as a rookie. But first play of the game, Jake Matthews. First play of the game was Jake Matthews. And it was all downhill from there. Alex Mack's the center, right? We know that. Whatever. It's fine. But overall, I know what we're saying. We drafted two guys. They're terrible. I don't think we can say they're terrible yet. I think we simply say, hey, they're rookies, right? I mean, they're rookies on the offensive line. They are going to take time. The problem is you're playing the Viking top 10 defensive line last year, and next week you're playing the number one rated defensive line from 2018 in Philadelphia. It's going to be brutal. All right, one more phone call and then a quick break here. Let's go to Ander right now on the phone lines. Ander, you're up. Biggest concern. Ander, are you there? Hello? Hello? Nope. Looks like we lost him. All right, next one in line is Don. Don, you are on.
Yeah. Hey, look, guys, I'm with you on the offensive and defensive line. You got to win in the trenches.
Yes.
You can't, until we sink some real money in this offensive line and this defensive line, you know, instead of in these superstars, you take New England, look at what they're doing. They put their money in the offensive line, defensive line. And until that happens, we're going to be facing this year after year. And as far as Dirk Cutter, I mean, Dirk Cutter had his chance in Atlanta, and he had his chance in a few other places. And
Tampa Bay, yeah.
I mean, we're just hiring anybody with half a contract.
Yeah, no, and I mean, they went out and tried to sign a lot of former head coaches, and it looked like, what, three former head coaches couldn't figure it out today. Couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Don, I appreciate the phone call there. All right, here's the deal. I see Joshua, Ander, and Mike are all on the phone lines. Again, if you want to call in, 404-741-0929. If you're driving, you pull over, you send a text to our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929 as well. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's keep the phone lines going, and I want to react to that last caller, because what New England does with their offensive line, defensive line, what Philadelphia's done, offensive line, defensive line, night and day compared to what Atlanta has done, and it showed a little bit today. We'll get into more, plenty more, as we react to the Falcons' big loss coming up next on the Falcon Flyover, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Tommy, it's great to be with you tonight, Coach Tommy.
The game is over. Listen in as we analyze today's Falcons game.
On the Falcons Flyover, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Live inside the Kia Studios right now, this is the Falcon Flyover. I am your host, Thomas Mott. We're going to go back to the phone lines here in a second. But first, three turnovers immediately. Like, first three possessions, it felt like. One, two, three, back to back to back. Ridiculous. Now, they were, you know, spread out, but it felt like it was nonstop. Here's what Dan Quinn, the head coach, had to say after about the turnover margin.
That was the name of the game, and not to create any, to get back into the plus, I thought was the real story in this game.
Is that the man? Yes, right? Like, he is correct. You turn the ball over three times, you don't get any turnovers back, that is a hard game to win. But if we're being honest with ourselves, would the Falcons have won today if they only turned the ball over once? I mean, honestly, did the Falcons look like a team that could have beaten the Minnesota Vikings without two of the three turnovers? I would argue no. Now, would it have been closer? Yes. But I don't think the turnovers are the only reason the Falcons lost today, and that's why we're going back to the phone lines right now, 404-741-0929, because you guys would agree, yeah, the turnovers were bad, but there's a lot of other problems right now happening around the Falcons team. Joshua, you're up first. Your biggest concern was what?
Hello?
Hello? Yep, Josh, can you hear me?
My biggest concern with the Falcons is the mental and physical toughness that they don't have.
Okay. All right, mental and physical toughness. Defense and offense?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
They're doing terrible on offense. Defense is doing okay, but they're not doing good enough.
Yeah, hey, listen, Joshua, I appreciate the phone call there. Mental, I think it's hard to be mentally tough when you're suddenly down 21-0. Like, when you get punched in the gut, it's like, boom, 21-0. Now, there were other teams in the NFL today. Buffalo came back from 16 down. Philadelphia came back from 17 down. You can get punched in the gut and still come back. But 21-0 and the way that it happened was a really, really hard pill to swallow. And it feels like if you can get less turnovers, they'll have a better shot. But at the same time, I go back to what I've been saying each segment. Matt Ryan runs for his life, and the defense was atrocious early on. Yes, yes, turnovers happen. Right? I mean, turnovers happen. But then as a defense, you got to trot out on the field, pin your ears back, and force field goals. Right? You got to force field goals instead of Dalvin Cook 20-yard rushing touchdowns. Back to the phone lines right now. Let's go back out to Ander right now at 404-741-0929. Ander, you are on. What's up, man?
Hey, Thomas. What's up, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing good. I'm trying to let you guys air it out right now. That's the point of this show. So you're up.
Yeah, man. So honestly, I think one of the biggest things that people won't be talking about tonight is the offensive coordinator. Like, they were throwing sweeps early, and they can't establish the run, so we become automatically one-dimensional.
Yep.
On top of that, Isaiah Oliver is having a bad game. He's getting picked on, and they do not make the adjustments that we need to make in order to have more momentum in the second half, which we had, but then we turned over the ball real quick, and it brings us back to where we started with bad momentum, man. And then the defense cannot step up. We stop them on third down. The offense gets the ball, and they cannot convert, which is awful. Vic Beasley looks just like the way that he did last year. He's this close but never comes through. He's always super close to sacking the quarterback, but he never does it. He had the whole momentum to get a sack, to get a hit, to get into Kirk Cousins' head, but he cannot do it. He runs around, starts dancing with him, which is ridiculous. The defense really gave up one touchdown because the offense is really, they just gave up like three touchdowns, and it's ridiculous, man. Not to start, but I don't think this is going to be us the whole season. I think we're going to bounce back. We're going to have a great year, but we do not need to freak out, just like Julio Jones said today, man. Good day, bro.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, listen, I mean, the Vic question marks are going to be there, and they're going to grow until Vic Beasley has a big game. Vic Beasley's stat line, just for you guys, if you didn't get to watch the game, 2 solo tackles, and that's it. There's a long pause there. 2 solo tackles. Grady Jarrett was the only Falcon player to have a sack. Grady Jarrett, Andy Bunker from the Andy and Randy, the Midday Show, had a great tweet. It's like midway through the second quarter. Grady Jarrett looks like the only defensive player who even considered to show up today because Grady played well. And he had the only sack. Other than that, though, who played well on this defense? It was nice seeing Deion Jones out there. And Tack got a couple of pressures. But other than that, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits. Kirk Cousins could take that jersey and just fold it up and put it back in his locker and be like, all right, well, I'll just take you out next week. No grass stains, no sweat, only threw the ball 10 times. I mean, Dalvin Cook was the primary workhorse because they could run the football. All right, Mike, you are on right now. How's it going?
Hey.
Hey, listen, talk Hello? To me here. Yep, yep, you're on the Falcon Flyover. Go for it.
Yeah, hey, my biggest concern is Julio not showing up for preseason games. Mm. I believe we were robbed on all kind of different levels. You know, your team members can't get that pace down. You can't get the rhythm and things when your go-to guy's not there. I don't care how hard you practice before preseason games. It's nothing like getting in there and getting bumped on the line by a different defender and getting defended like your life's on the line by other opponents, even though they're preseason games. And then you get to the real game, it's like they're even more intense. So then when Julio gets the ball thrown to him, he doesn't catch the ball.
But, Mike, hang on. Before we blame this all on Julio Jones not playing in the preseason, he hasn't played in the preseason in like 4 years and has balled out every single year. So I don't know if not playing in the preseason, plus he was nursing a foot injury, and was waiting to get paid. I don't know if we can blame today on Julio Jones.
Not blame everything on him, but I believe he robbed us in some senses on different levels.
All right.
Because it wasn't effective. You know, why did we use that rookie? Why did we go to the rookie defender when we're on the 2-yard line instead of him?
Well, I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's Julio Jones's fault. I would argue that that's more play calling and trying to get him off guard. Listen, and people, and I appreciate the phone call there, Mike. People have called in saying, why didn't we throw to Julio on the goal line? That might have been the third option. You got first and goal at the 2. You run the ball on first down. Everyone knows that. Then you can try the boot action. Try and find a tight end. Now, should you have gone to, I guess, the other tight end besides Hooper? That's iffy. And then maybe you throw to Julio Jones. But if you line up Julio Jones isolated on one side of the field at the goal line, they're going to expect you to go there. So maybe Dirk Koetter outsmarted himself, but the whole this is Julio Jones' fault for not playing in the preseason, I have no issue with Julio Jones not playing in the preseason. There are a ton of players today who did not play in the preseason who balled out. And if you want to go with our opponent next week, look at Carson Wentz. He comes to town next week, didn't play a snap in the preseason. Quarterback, right? That's the most important position. Didn't play a snap. Carson Wentz, 3 touchdowns. Should have been 4, but it was a lateral. 300-plus yards passing on the dime. He was probably the best quarterback in the early games today. Didn't play a single snap. Julio Jones is not the reason they lost this football game. He played well. He played well down the stretch. But when you're Matt Ryan, you're not able to have enough time to get the ball to Julio Jones, and you're already trailing so much, let's just not blame it all there on Julio Jones. All right, Ken has been waiting a long time. Ken, you are up right now. Your biggest concern?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. All of this is not even going to matter at the end of the season. Dan Quinn will be out of here.
Okay.
He can go put his bumper slogan stickers on somebody else's team. This dude... To me, sometimes he doesn't have a clue, man. The Falcons are soft. They got a soft D-line. I mean, you got to be mentally and physically tough, man. And Minnesota came out and took it to their behind today. I didn't see any effort. I didn't see no fight. They were gashing him up and down the field. That's Dan freaking Quinn, man. Get this guy out of here.
Hey, Ken.
Please.
Hey, thanks for the phone call there. You know, we're going to get a lot of those phone calls, and I totally get it. Because, yes, soft is a correct word to use. I posted on my Twitter account, at RealThomasMod, earlier, describe the Falcons game in one word. Like 300 comments, and a lot were soft. They got manhandled on the defensive side of the football today. Yes, but at the same time, listen, it's only one game. And I know, I've been preaching the offensive line looked bad, the defense looked bad, Dan Quinn looked bad, and I totally agree. Defense was terrible. If this happens next week, and this happens the week after against Indy, and let's just say you miss the playoffs, I will listen to Dan Quinn needs to be fired. But we got to give it a little bit of time here because it's only week one. But in Ken the caller's defense, what we saw from the defensive standpoint of the Atlanta Falcons was very soft, was very bad, and after being told that it was going to get fixed this year, it does not look fixed. The thing that no one is talking about right now, I saw it on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line once, that the Vikings are a really good football team. Right? So it's not like we lost today to the Tennessee Titans, or we lost today to the Jacksonville Jaguars, or we lost today to the Miami Dolphins, who got murdered today, by the way. We'll have those highlights a little bit later. But this is a good football team. The Vikings could very well win the NFC North and host a home playoff game. They have a great offensive line. They have great weapons. They have Dalvin Cook healthy, and the defense is stacked full of really good players. So that, with all being said, can be true, but it can also be true that, hey, we had enough talent to match up with them. For whatever reason, we did not show up. All right, this guy's name is Falcons Fan. That's fair enough. You are on the Falcon Flyover. Talk to me.
What's up, Thomas?
Hey, man. How's it going, buddy? Listen, I'm navigating the phone calls and trying to be fair and unbiased right now, but it's difficult.
Hey, I got you, brother.
Yeah,
all
man.
Right, so check it out, man. I'm not going to point it all on the team
okay.
together. I mean, it was a bad game. It
yes.
was definitely a bad game. I'm not going to lay it on Julio, even
yeah, at all.
Even without the preseason and everything
yeah,
like
yeah,
that. Like,
that
yeah. dude don't need it. He's a stellar player.
I totally agree.
But, and Dan Quinn on top of that, like, you can't even put it, I mean, you can, but you can't. I mean, it's
just
those,
too early.
Like, 50-50s, like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
I mean,
too
like,
early.
Who are you going to take outside of Dan Quinn? Mike Smith? Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, come on, man. We've had more success under this guy than what we've had, you know, past regimes and everything like that. I mean, but at the end of the day, I credit a lot of it to the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matt Ryan can't make a play if he's on his butt every time.
100%.
You know, it's just not going to happen. He's not a scrambling quarterback. He's not going to get outside the pocket as much as, like, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, players like that. Like, he's going to rely on those, you know, 5 to 10 yard passes every game. He's going to rely on the running game. He's going to rely on that play action pass. And I mean, if you can't establish the running game, especially with Devontae Freeman, you know, then I mean, what are you going to have outside of that? I mean, Ito Smith played a good game. I mean, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him at all, but it seems like I wanted to see more spectacular plays outside of the offense. You know, the defense, we know we have a lot of guys that were injured last year. They're coming back making plays. You know, so outside of that, it's like offensive wise, like, you want to see Julio making those plays. You want to see Sanu up there making those catches, which they did. You know, I'm not taking that away from them, but I feel like the goal line play where we throw it to a tight end, it's like, you know, throw Julio up there, man. I mean, you're only paying this guy tons of money to make plays like this and playing the game like this, and, you know, you're literally throwing to a tight end that's not even your first stringer. So it's, you know, I don't know, man. It's a little crazy. And I know we'll get together week two, week three. I mean, it's a good defense. It's a good team. Vikings got a good team.
Listen, it's tough. God. I appreciate the phone call there. I appreciate the level-headedness, but it is going to take a little bit of time, and we'll have to regroup and see what happens next week against Philadelphia. All right, quickly, we're going to go to a break. We come back, we'll take more phone calls, and we'll also look around the NFL because there's been a lot of other games happening, including the Carolina Panthers loss today, which is good. Quick break, back in about 5 minutes. It's the Falcon Flyover on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.